Hey friend. It has been a hot minute. And can we just honestly, if I'm being honest, first off, is this is your first episode? Wow, welcome. It's going to be an interesting one for sure, but welcome to the After Hours with Amanda podcast. The podcast that's for whoever wants to listen to it or needs it. That's just a safe space for you. We are absolutely, now that I've done, oh, let's just disclaimer this. I am in no way telling you what to live, how to live, what to do, how to do. I'm not a trained professional, nor am I a trained parent because those don't exist. I am an imperfect human being who is sharing the journey of life with you. So welcome. That's my disclaimer. But the first thing we're gonna do, y'all, is we're gonna take a deep breath together. That's legitimately how this episode is starting. We are taking a deep breath together. This might feel basic. This might feel silly. I don't know where you are. Are you driving? Are you in a meeting? Are you listening at work? Are you listening school, summer school? I don't know where you are. But what we're gonna do, you might not be able to close your eyes, so I'm not advising you to close your eyes. All I'm saying is I want you to take a deep breath in on the count of three, and I want you to focus on the air coming into your lungs. And then when we push it out, I want you to focus on pushing out whatever you need in this moment. I don't know what it is, but I can tell you this this episode is bound to be emotional as I stumble over my words. I have a kombucha. It is literally 8:47 at night, but I just knew that this was the time of taking the week off to come to you and just create our space. So, on three, we're gonna take that breath in. We're gonna fill every space of our being that needs filling, and then we're just gonna blow out the air and whatever needs to go with it. All right, one, ready, two, three. Gonna blow that out. Do you know how weird it is to me that the art of breathing, and I call it the art because you have to stop and pause and ponder to actually breathe. I was getting my Botox done today, and I had waited a while to get it done because I was like, let's see how I feel about this, right? Let's see if I want to continue with Botox or if at 35 I've decided I don't want to anymore. And personal choice, I decided I actually love Botox. It's wonderful to me and I enjoy it. So I will continue with that. But it was a nice little experiment with myself. And I think it's important to check in with yourself in those ways where you decide, do I want to continue down this road or do I want to, segue some other way? Have I changed my mind? Because you know what? Changing your mind is actually allowed. Shockingly, it's a beautiful thing. And sometimes when you don't change your mind, it's a beautiful thing. Okay. But needless to say, I was getting my Botox done today, and the sweet human being who does my Botox is one of my favorite people, and the girl that works at the center as well with her, two of my favorite people, Katrina and Mel. They are souls that are the essence of love, empathy, and support. Like, I'm so grateful to encounter people like that in my daily life. Anyways. So I'm getting my Botox, and as she's injecting me, I'm starting to kind of get lightheaded, which is not normal. And I realize I'm literally holding my breath. And there's this guy on TikTok, and I love him. He pops up on my feed every so often. And it's like you can't see the background. And then all of a sudden he's like, hi, take your tongue out of the roof of your mouth. Like, if you know who I'm talking about, you know who I'm talking about. And whenever I see him, I like his video because I'm like, I'm gonna need you on my feed again when you cycle back, sir. I'm gonna need you here. But today I was reminded to take my tongue out of the roof of my mouth and pause and relax my shoulders and relax my jaw. And it's so funny, but honestly, really not. How much tension and thought processing we carry around on a daily basis subconsciously. Now, a lot of you may or may not know, I took a week off of social media. There is a variety of reasons that I did that. And it really honestly boils down to that myself as a human being, in my greatest high functioning essence, personhood, whatever, is empathic, loving, wanting to be there for everyone, and wanting to support and care for everyone. And sometimes in the world, that gets very difficult to do. Because in a time when the last 3 years have felt so divisive, my desire is to hug every single human. Because at the end of the day, the one thing that everybody has in common is the desire to feel seen, to feel known, to feel loved, and to feel cared for. To not feel forgotten, to not feel overlooked, to not feel discarded. And it's something I take so seriously because in my journey of life, I have seen so many people walk the road of loneliness and walk the road of rejection or walk the road feeling unloved. And I can't imagine making someone feel that way. And so it's impossible, just so you know, from a recovering perfectionist to make everyone feel that at every moment of the day. It's a losing battle, truly. But it doesn't mean that I don't keep trying because I truly just don't want anyone to feel forgotten. What is the purpose of this episode? The truth is, I absolutely love this podcast. I've said it before and I'll say it again. It is my favorite form of expression in this world of social media podcast platforms. It is my favorite outlet. I truly feel like it's a space that I can come to with you and me, and we can sit and we can have coffee. But if I'm being honest with myself, I haven't shared this, but I had hired a trainer, which has been amazing. And not for the reasons you would think. Not because my body has never looked so good. And granted, I'm trying to celebrate my body no matter what stage it's in. And the idea of body positivity to me is just loving myself. Regardless. But I hired a trainer because I really wanted to work on my physical health. Because for me, losing my mom at what I felt was a young age of 23, I have a very, very big fear of that. So my journey to working with a personal trainer was more out of a desire to feel healthy and fit and strong, and not so much to be perfectly toned or perfectly, you know, I don't even know, diet culture perfect or whatever you want to call it. But being someone who grew up with a mom who, God love her, because I feel such empathy for her now where I am that I can step back and I can see it with how she was just hurting and how the way that she was raised impacted her and how she viewed herself. And without meaning to, you know, her unhealed wounds, they bled onto me. And I've gotten to a place, and I'm very grateful that I'm not angry at her. But I see her as a human being. And if she was here, I truly would hug her for the longest time. But my mom, when we would go to the mall, which was like our social outing together, she would always stop by GNC. And like, trigger warning, I'm going to talk about weight. She'd always stop at GNC, and she had this innate need to weigh herself, and then she would offer to weigh me. And I will tell you this, she was not intentionally trying to be this way. It was just in her. So she'd weigh herself, then she'd weigh me. And when you went to GNC in the early 2000s, late 90s, early 2000s, a slip would print out with your weight on it. And again, I'm giving you a warning. If you're triggered by any of this, I am going to talk about like weight. So I'm not going to talk about ED activities, but I am going to talk about this idea of weight and food and things. So just a heads up, my love. Okay. So it would print out the weight, and then it would print out the range based off of your height and age and where you should be and what was under, what was over, what was, you know, whatever. And so I grew up my high school life, all 4 years. Just this was a normal activity. You go to GNC, you weigh yourself. Like, it is what it is. And my mom would get very elated or very sad based off of that number. And I'll be honest with you, sometimes I really feel guilty sharing parts of this because she's not here. But then I realized that as much of it's parts of her experience, it's actually my journey as well because I was living it. So she would do this and she would either be very content or very disappointed in herself. And that was kind of how I learned to view weight and how I learned to view the things we ate. My mother never ordered a meal by herself. We always shared. And granted, I want to let you know, this episode actually is not technically about eating habits. That's not what I'm focusing on. I know a lot of you have asked me to talk about it. Sorry. But talking about that means unraveling a lot of other things. And we're going to get there for sure, but we're still processing. But what it's leading me to is this idea that that seemed very normal. It just seemed very normal. It seemed very normal to weigh myself all the time, constantly. It seemed very normal for this to be a behavior. Sharing meals seemed very, very normal. And to be honest with you, I will say there is a beauty to sharing a meal because you can order multiple things. So I'm not shitting on sharing meals. Don't get me wrong. Like, I enjoy having multiple items. So like I will be like, oh, you want to share? But it's not out of, do you want to share so I can eat less? It's do you want to share so I can try more? Okay. So I'm definitely not dissing the idea of that. But what that lends it to with my personality is this idea of having that empathic personality and taking responsibility for that. And in the current state of hurt that we are living in, and I don't want to say the world, because I just feel like that makes it about issues. And I think that when people hear issues or people hear trigger words or things like that, they go off on these ideals or these boxes and they put people in them. But I like to think of it as this place of hurt that we're all trying to navigate through because we all have our own wounds, right?
Mm-hmm.
But when do our wounds become an issue? And I don't like to say issue. That feels unfair. When do our wounds become something we need to address? When we start bleeding on other people. And what I mean bleeding on other people is I'm not talking about relying on other people. I'm not talking about sharing hurt with other people. I'm talking about when our hurt hurts others. And that's not to mean that you're not justified in your hurt. That's not to mean that you can't be angry or share emotion. And honestly, truthfully, I'm not one to judge your hurt. So don't listen to me at all if you don't want. Turn me off right now and be like, this girl does not know what she's talking about. How rude her judging my hurt or how I express it, right? Because truth be told, we are living in a world of hurt where right now it's very easy for you to become the villain in someone's story, right? So that's okay. That's okay. I'm not saying that you can't take that journey that you need. I am merely sharing mine. That is the only intent here. This is not directional. This is me sharing in hopes that it brings salve or aloe to someone's wound or burn. That is literally the only intent here. But what I'm leading up to is this week off that I'm taking. This week off that as much as I want to share everything that's going on, as much as I want to talk to you because I love you so much. I do. I love you so much. I have to preserve my space in terms of what that looks like for me mentally. And it's not to say that on the journey of mental health, because like I said, and I was going to make this point earlier, when I hired the personal trainer, which getting back on point, because we all know I rabbit trail. So don't, if you're new to this episode, if you're new to this podcast, be prepared for every segue and every off-ramp that's offered on this freeway. Okay. Anyways, my hiring of the personal trainer was incredibly wonderful because the physical benefits and endorphins that I have received from working out have been absolutely insane. I have actually gained weight working out. Like, if we're gonna be real honest, I've gained literally like almost 8 to 10 pounds. 8 to 10 pounds. And I know in your head you're thinking, muscle weighs more than fat. That's not the point of me saying that. The point of me saying that is that the endorphins have had such a payoff that hasn't really been a factor for me. And it's been such a payoff that my therapy has gone down so much, right? So I was kind of like, the last 3.5 months, 4 months, I hadn't needed to chat with my therapist. And her and I, the last time we had talked, she said, you know, I feel like you're in a good place. Let's revisit, you know, and if you need to do once a month or twice, like, let's revisit. And I was like, yes, queen, we are getting somewhere. And this is what is so interesting about mental health. The fact that we really treat it as a finish line when it is a freaking journey, boo. It's a journey. Mental health is a journey. I don't know in what world it was a destination, but I don't want you to think of it that way because you'll just feel like you're failing. Because you guys know about Adam, my brother. If you don't, my brother, God love him, he died after a very long battle with opioid and drug addiction. When he died, he was officially clean from the things he was using. That doesn't mean that he wasn't taking methadone. That doesn't mean that he wasn't taking things to stave the addiction off, right? To stall that. But he was not actively in usage, as far as I was aware and as far as the autopsy said, okay? But the thing is that there is this show out, and this is kind of where it leads us to with this week off, okay? I was extremely triggered by so many things going on in the world and me wanting to just love on everyone in every journey. Because I feel like sometimes, ooh, that's an email. I feel like sometimes our trauma responses are all different. And what's really hard in the world that we live in is it's a very microwave mentality right now where you have to come up with things quick and you have to do it quickly and you have to come to it quickly. And y'all, this busy right here, I'm a crock pot. And my husband would tell you that with thought processing. In fact, truth be told, when I was in high school and college and I was dating someone, I had decided 3 months before I broke up with them that I was going to break up with them. And it took three breakups. I literally shit you not. I would break up with someone three times. The third time would be it. But I literally had to do it three times. But part of the reason that this week, this last week, and previous weeks, and me starting to share more about Adam, the reason I had to take off a week was because I was so incredibly triggered by the response of a variety of things, but talking about mental health and addiction and living through that and that other side of the coin. Because, see, I lived. And you guys, I just want to preface this because someone's going to get mad at me and I'm not trying to make people angry. I am not making excuses for people in active addiction. I'm not doing that. That's not what I'm doing, babe. I'm not saying what they did was okay. I'm not saying how they treated was okay. There's no excuse. But what I am saying is that as I grow and as I develop and as I learn more about what addiction does to the brain, I'm sad that I wasn't able to see more clearly what was going on. And I don't feel guilt about that. I love it. It's hard because when you share really deep things, so often it feels as though people want you to share about life, share about addiction, share about mental health. And the minute you do, people think you need to check. Oh, I just hit the mic. Sorry if that was loud. The minute you do, people think you need to literally check yourself in. And listen, girl, sir, ma'am, all the above human beings. If I needed to check myself in, or if there was ever a time when I needed outpatient, inpatient, your girl would be signing herself up. Okay, I just would. I don't have that stigma in my mind. And I feel super grateful that I don't have that stigma, but I just don't. I'm not gonna hide from mental health. If I need the help, I'm getting it. Like, I'm getting it because I have people who love me and rely on me, and I love myself. And I have seen what that does. And if somebody doesn't want me to seek out mental health help, they don't care about me. If someone is more concerned about the perception of what that looks like, forget it. Absolutely not. That's a hard pass. But I was just chatting with a friend, and it's hard because you share stuff, and then people, sometimes, I'm not saying all people, I'm saying people, they want you to share, they want you to be open, they want you to be vulnerable, they want all this, and then the minute you do, it's like, ooh, hold on a second, that was a little too deep. Why'd you go and share that? That's uncomfortable. And the thing for me is that I'm just getting to this place in my life where I love and appreciate my convictions and my journey. I don't think anyone else needs to take that on. That's okay. That's okay. You don't have to. I'm not asking you to. I am also not going to stand in judgment of you or unlove you. But I just have gotten to this place where I find unloving a human for something that maybe I don't see properly, not my vibe. And that sounds so basic to say it's not my vibe. But this week, y'all, I'm not going to go into the comments that were sent to me. And it's not the comments that upset me. This is what a lot of people didn't understand. And there's no long form where I can share with people this except the podcast, right? So that's why I'm here. The reason it hurts so much is not because, oh, I'm just trying to be nice. I'm trying to be love and light. I'm just trying to be this really non-problematic. No. The reason it hurt me so bad was because there was so much hurt in the comments. There was so much anger. There was so much loss of empathy. And it didn't make me angry. It made me sad. It made me sad. And if I'm being honest, excuse me, I totally burped. Don't drink kombucha while filming a podcast, you guys. Oh my goodness. The reason it hurt so bad was because to say certain things or put certain things out there, you have to be so wounded. And that's not me being like, oh, poor person, you're hurt. Absolutely not. It's me saying, oh my God, sweet human, how can I explain to you that I still love you? But sometimes when people are angry, something that I have realized is they can't hear you no matter how hard you try. And the definition of insanity is doing something over and over, expecting a different result. And taking time away was more once they came for Adam. And here's the thing, you guys, I am actually okay. But in watching the new series Dope Sick on Hulu, which if you're aware of it and you know it can be triggering, I'm not going to say I don't recommend it. I'm just going to say be wary of it, because if you have someone who has suffered from addiction, for me, at least in my experience, it was like looking in a mirror. It truly was like watching so many of the situations that I had in my life play out. And I've watched shows like the A&E show. Wow, I can't think of the name of it. It's like Addicted, or it's like a show about addiction, and you watch interventions and you watch all this. It was not as close to home as watching Dope Sick. And I think that's because when you are growing up, like I was. I mean, the first time I learned my brother was an addict, I was like 12. And I think of 12-year-old Amanda, and I'm confused for her. And I'm sad for her. Because what she didn't realize Adam was going through was not just addiction. It was pain. It was suffering. And I don't carry guilt about it in the way that I blame myself, so don't worry, okay? But I carry sadness because I think of so many other ways that I could have loved him. I can't imagine, because addiction messes with your frontal lobe. And just so you know, you guys, your girl is actually reading a lot of books on addiction. She's actually taking a psychology class, like kind of getting into it. Like in my next life, I might be a therapist or an addiction counselor. But who knows? Life is busy. But you don't realize that it messes with the actual makeup of your brain, right? You're not realizing all this. You're not realizing that it completely, like, imagine you're on a map and you're taking a road trip and you take a different turn. It's going to change your trajectory of that trip, right? Like, and how do you get back on that road? Well, you're going to have to check the map. You're going to have to take a new route, right? And that's what I didn't realize was happening. I didn't know the brain needed 2 years to heal. And that is not just a freaking fact on the show. It is a legitimate scientific fact. The brain takes 2 years to heal. That's why people go to methadone. You know, and it's like, there's so much more involved. But what's so hard right now, I feel like, is everything feels like it has to be so black and white. And there's so much gray. When people are all like, are you red? Are you blue? I'm like, I'm freaking purple, you guys. Like, I'm purple, okay? And the thing is that as we venture this journey of mental health, and again, I am warning you if this is your first episode, I'm not making apologies, but I'm just telling you, like, this jumping around addiction, eating disorder, like, it's heavy, I get it. But the people on the journey with me, this will make sense. And those of you who are new, I hope if it resonates with you, amazing. If it doesn't, I am not going to be mad at you, because this is probably a crazy, inconsistent, what the hell is she talking about episode. But the point is that on the journey of mental health, it is not a destination. Yes, I spent the last year in therapy. Yes, I spent the last 3 months not needing to go to therapy. Yes, I saw a TV show on television and felt like I was watching a rerun of the highlights of my high school career. And so does being triggered by that and being set off by that and spiraling into this, what in the world is going on? I'm feeling all these things. Does that make me weak? Does that make me not all good? Does that not make me mentally, like, what is that? That's not real. And what I have had to remind myself of as I've been literally re-triggered, and I hate the statement triggered because I feel like sometimes it's a buzzword, but it's the only way I can describe this. As I have had old wounds opened up from these triggers, I have had to come to grips with the fact that it is okay, and I say this all the time, so your girlfriend is eating some humble pie, having to play out her own words, okay? And by what I mean by that is, like, I'm all for it, but, like, it's also a lot to take on, is I am seeing my therapist regularly, or will be again starting next week, because I have stuff that came up. And I can either look at that as a failure and say, look at you, you were out of therapy, quote unquote, out of therapy, right? Okay. And now you're back in therapy. What's wrong with you? You should have been able to handle this. You should have been able to deal with this. But if you are feeling heavy, if you are feeling like an elephant is sitting on your chest, if you are feeling like you cannot breathe right now, you are not alone. And I cannot tell you what that statement means, because I have a group of girlfriends. There's five of us. We meet up like once a week, once every 6 weeks, and we're all different human beings, like different gifts, different people, similar views, differing views, different backgrounds, similar back, like just a hodgepodge, right? And when I posted something on my Instagram stories earlier this week, one of my besties messaged me. And she's like, you're not alone in this feeling. And the amount of peace and comfort that gave me. And I don't mean in the funny, like, you're not alone. But to literally feel that someone else was struggling in their world. Someone that I know and I love and I look up to. I mean, she's badass. I don't care what people say. She's one of my friends, but she's badass. Okay. I love her so much. And to have her message me that she was struggling, it felt like a warm hug. And in a world of social media consumption, where we consume constantly, and it is almost a type of way that we feed ourselves, I urge you, and I'm saying this as someone who creates content to be consumed, I urge you to not hold that in such a pedestal where you forget that it is a normal person just like you creating content. Where you do not elevate someone, and I am talking about myself too. I love you guys. I am grateful. I am honored by the stories you share with me daily in DMs. Okay. I am beyond honored with the personal journeys that you feel comfortable enough to share. I could never thank you enough for feeling like I am a safe place. But if this last week has taught me anything and reminded me of anything, it is that sometimes we need to be wary of what we consume and how we consume it. Because when we are feeding the way we see ourselves with it, it can get very tricky. I saw this week, and I didn't follow the TikToker, but I saw this week that a 21-year-old TikToker was found not alive in his car in a parking lot. And he had openly shared his struggle with addiction and mental health. And I thought to myself, because I've had several friends this year who have shared about their mental health and decided to open up to family and friends, and they've been met with this very like cautionary, like, oh, I'm so sorry. And I'm like, can we start throwing parties for people who go back to therapy? Like, can we change the rhetoric on this? No, you're not sorry. You should be thrilled that someone went back to therapy. I was involved in a conversation earlier this week, and someone was talking about their child. It was an older teen. And they were like, yeah, I told so-and-so that, you know, their human being went back to therapy. And the person said to them, I'm so sorry. I'm sorry. Like, not about what they were dealing with. No, about the simple act of therapy. And I just thought to myself, y'all, get over it. Okay, like, therapy needs to be like a gym membership. Well, actually, no, it doesn't, because you're signing up in January and you're quitting 2 months later if you're me. Therapy needs to be celebrated. You know, I know a lot of people always joke about, like, if you decide to, like, go the route of, like, the non-children route, like, celebrating when you start your own business. And, like, I'm here for it. Like, whatever you want to celebrate, like, if you want to have a party, like, call me up. Like, I'm going to celebrate it. You did the laundry, I'm going to celebrate it. You finished an assignment, I'm going to celebrate it. You killed off that toxic relationship, done. You found a healthy relationship, done. You decided to eat pasta on a Tuesday night and add whatever toppings you wanted, get it. Okay. But I can't help but feel like, and I've thought this year since January, that something's going on in terms of where this year is going to take us in our little community. You know, I never imagined sharing about my brother. I'm going to be honest with you. It's a very, very raw subject. It's so touchy. The idea of addiction. You know, I spent my senior, the day I went to my senior ball, I got my makeup done. I went to the halfway house my brother was at for a group session of therapy. And then I went and got my hair done and went to my senior ball. And then the next morning I woke up and I went back to another therapy session at the halfway house we were at. And we brought my brother. He friggin' loved KFC. He loved KFC. He loved Jack in the Box teriyaki bowls and chocolate milkshakes. And you know what I think is really silly is I never imagined, with whoever's listening to this, processing the way that I deal with my brother's death and his life with me, with people that I actually haven't met in real life or hugged. Or I don't know, maybe someone in my personal life is listening to this, but truth be told, do you want to hear the wildest thing in the world? And you guys, if you are a person in my real life listening to this, I am not saying this or judging you. But do you know what's so funny about people in your real life? When you get involved with social media, they kind of become uninvolved. And what I mean by that is not to be negative, but like they're not, I mean, don't get me wrong, my dad listens. What's up, John? I would never, I call him dad. I don't call him John. I call him, well, no, that's, I do. When I'm mad at him, I full name him. I'm like, listen here, John so-and-so, so-and-so, middle name, last name. Like, I'm about to do it. This man right now with the way, you know, he's on a little fixed income because he's older and stuff. And this man tells me this week, let me tell you, this man tells me he's not buying potato chips. I said, excuse me? He goes, oh, never mind. Like he slipped it out because God love my dad. He tries to like not tell me stuff because he knows exactly what I'm going to do. I'm like, are you joking me? Are you telling me you have no potato chips in your house right now? He's like, Amanda, stop. I'm like, no, you listen. What else is in your house? He's like, I'm not telling you what else is in my house. I'm like, well, this is on you then. He's like, what? And I was like, don't worry about it. Let me tell you, honey, okay? I straight up, granted, where he lives in Texas, they do not have the best DoorDash. Like, I'm just going to call you out, okay? Like, Corpus Christi, get it together. Your DoorDash availability of groceries is not great. I straight up Walgreens that shit. I send him, like, salt and vinny chips, potato chips, Fritos, bean dip, barbecue chip. I was like, sir, you cannot live in a world where you're not buying potato chips. Like, you only live once. Okay, you're literally pushing 80. I cannot handle this. But I was talking to him because, oh, you guys, I'm so grateful for him. You know, it's so cathartic to talk to you. And so don't be alarmed by the next statement that I'm going to say, but you don't grow up in your house with your mom, your dad, your brother, and yourself. You don't grow up thinking by the time I'm, you know, 32 was when my brother passed. No, 33, because I'm going to be 36 this year and it'll be 3 years. You don't think by the time I'm 33, there's only going to be two of us left. Like, and excuse my dark statement or humor or however you want to classify that. Like, you don't think to yourself, like, well, two of us will be gone. Like, that's Hunger Games mentality. No one's thinking that, okay? But that is where life has taken me. And I will tell you, probably one of my greatest fears, which I know eventually will arrive, is my dad not getting to hang out or be here anymore. And the reason being is that having someone in your life love you unconditionally, regardless of anything you say, is a rare commodity. It's a very rare commodity. And I think that's why I feel the need to pay it forward. My dad and I did not have the best relationship when I was in high school. And that wasn't because it was tumultuous. It was because he wasn't there. He worked constantly. He was an absolute workaholic. And he felt like that's what he was doing to be there for his family. But in 4 years of cheerleading, I saw him at two games. And I don't regret that. I don't get, like, I'm not upset about that. But it wasn't until college that him and I really started to connect my sophomore year. And the one thing that I can always rely on from him is even if he has an opinion, he's not going to judge me for mine. Even if he's not totally on board, because I parent way different than he did, he loves me. and to feel unequivocally, unjudgmentally loved by someone, especially a parent figure, it's something that I do not take lightly, and it's something that I feel that I have to share with others. So 40 minutes in, what is the point of this episode? What is the point? Well, the point of this episode is I plan to record episodes while I'm away this week. I want to come back with some episodes of the podcast for you all. I want you to, if nothing else from this episode, talking about dope sick and addiction and eating and stuff, I want you to know that this place is a safe place. I want you to know that I'm okay. I had so many DMs this last week and posting about my brother, which was unexpected. I felt like it's important for me to talk about him and addiction. I feel like people on the other side of it loving someone who is in addiction, I feel like they need it. I feel like they need it. And I cannot dishonor myself or the people I care about by not in some way trying every single solitary freaking day of my life to do something in this world that possibly lets someone know that they're seen and that they are needed here. I think what everyone is looking for in this world of hurt is a place to feel belonged, a part of. And I think that that's why sometimes anger is such an easy reaction for us, because when we see anger and we feel anger, it's a connecting point. All emotions are a connecting point. Anger, happiness, joy. When you feel a similar emotion, when something similar is emoted, you're going to connect to that. And so when we look at what connects us, I don't want it to be the things that make us 100% the same, because who wants to live in a world where everyone's the same, right? I want what connects us to be this sense of comfort in knowing that even when, you know, we have someone we love who's different, or we've grown up with someone who didn't understand the eating disorder they were championing, or even when someone might not be exactly like me. Oh God, it's like Paige, you guys. Paige. I was saying something the other day and I said, yeah, well, you know, XYZ. And Paige goes, oh, that's okay, because we're different. And I said, well, yeah, you know, but this, and it can be. She goes, no, it's okay, though. That's normal. We're all different. That's okay. That's okay, mommy. There was such a sureness in her voice. Yeah, no, it's okay. Don't worry about it. And there was this beauty in when certain things come up. Oh, I think it paused there for a second. But when certain things come up, the girls are so unbothered by it. They don't care. But, well, mommy, we still love them. We should still be kind. Well, yes, mommy, but, you know. And the type of joy that fills my soul when that happens, it's like nothing I've ever experienced. So if I'm being honest, I don't have a point to this episode other than to say that we are on a journey, you guys. Some of these episodes in this coming year, they're going to have a straight on bottom line. like my favorite true crime ones that follow a storyline the whole way through. I love the consistency, right? And some of these episodes are just going to be a cathartic experience in me literally sharing with you and praying to God the wet paper towel I'm throwing at the ceiling sticks for someone. But if I leave you with nothing else today, I don't know where you are. I don't know what you're feeling. I don't know what you're navigating. And if I'm honest, I don't know what you need. But the one thing that I can do for you, and if you walked up to me, and I promise you this, if you ever see me in real life, and you walk up to me, the one thing I will promise you is you will get a hug. And I will feel exactly this way. And that is this. If someone has not told you lately, and I don't know if they have, but I sure wish they would, you are loved. You are valued. You have exponential and absolutely limitless potential. I see you, and I love you. I am grateful that you're here. And you are needed. Please don't ever let any voice, human, otherwise, or in your own head, tell you that that's not true. I love you so much. I can't wait to share more with you. God willing, I will provide some type of consistency in your life with these. But if nothing else, thank you so much for being here. This podcast means everything to me, and I love you for tuning in. Have a wonderful morning, afternoon, or evening, babe.